Opinions expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
Problems, problems, problems all day long. Will my problems work out right or wrong? My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
Good morning, Fairbanks. You are listening to KFAR Radio. We're at 660 on the AM dial, 97.5 on the FM dial, and we even live stream at KFARradio.com. That's right. We're in the new millennium. We do that stuff. But if you want to call into today's show, we're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. Another scheduled program show the last Tuesday of the month. And I have John Ringsted, city council member, and Brett Roderman, a borough assembly member. Now, Brett, give us your speech.
Yeah, I have to do that. So these are my opinions alone. They do not represent the Fairbanks North Star Borough, nor the Fairbanks North Star Borough Assembly. Pretty good at that, aren't I, John?
Pretty good.
You know,
are you representing the city for me?
No.
I have to bring up a tale of two cities here. Brett Roderman, they vote in a $33 million facility for animal shelter, animal control. The city of Fairbanks, your mayor doesn't want to put anything on the players block until she reviews all cultural aspects that might go with it. You're all screwed up. Simple as that.
Maybe we could build our new dog pound down at the Polaris site. We'll kill two birds, you know.
Yeah, but no dogs.
Right.
It's an interesting interesting to see the dynamic between the two different governments. The city generally has been moved fairly smoothly until recently, and the borough seems to fight and be a lot more wanting to spend money than the council is.
Yeah, we've been pretty good at spending money here lately. And David had me on the show, what was it, last week or the week before last, you know, talking about the numbers from the new animal facility. And, it works out.
My guesstimate is it's going to be $40 million by the time it's done. Plus, you're going to have a 25% increase of operational costs of the one that's this with staff. And another 25% of operational costs of just what it costs to operate
utilities.
Yeah, and just if we came in on budget at $33 million, I ran those numbers, and that comes out just on that debt service, that's $1,850 a day just for 50 years. Just on that number alone. I never did run the number at $40 million. I probably should have. That's probably closer to $2,000 a day,
Well, that's one of the things, and I was last night kind of trying to keep making that point, figure out what you have to have and then figure out where you're going to get the money. Just assuming that, somebody, our future generations or whoever they might be, they'll pay for it. Well, that's kind of a bold move to say that to your kids and grandkids and say, I'm going to stick the bill out on you.
John, you had in talking with you, it sounds like you had a very unique meeting last night.
We did. It was a long session and working on several things. One was our first adjustment to our budget, which some of the stuff that has to carry over for 1 year. It's more of an accounting system. But then we had a whole list of new money, new ideas, new projects, and some of us were
two months after your new budget goes into effect.
It was introduced less than 2 months after the budget took effect. And we're coming up with new ideas, some of which we voted down 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And they put it on there and wanted us to vote on it again. We pushed pretty hard in saying, no, we're not going to do a lot of these. There was a couple that we kind of needed to do. There's one that we agreed to in our labor contract that a certain kind of blood work testing for our firefighters.
Yeah.
That's pretty standard that we need to do. And there was some costs associated with that. We also put in warming center that we have here in town is about out of money, and they want to.
So you're funding the homeless now.
Well, I don't know. You can go stay there if you want to, I guess. I don't know if you get homeless. but they want to stay open through for another month to get through the cold.
So the city of Fairbanks is now funding nonprofit social activities.
That's kind of where it's getting to. We're getting way into the social programs. But the decision was, rather than, you know, it's been a long, cold winter, rather than cut it off now, let's get them through the winter. One time, we said that repeatedly.
How much did you fund it?
$40,000. Yeah. And then I was pushing hard on this one and saying, okay, now this is a life safety issue. Contingency funds and planning programs.
Let's go back. This is a group that started this, 3 years ago. Right. Wherever they have gone, they've torn up the neighborhood. They've ripped it apart. And now they're over in the old...
I don't even know where they are.
They're in the old fire station.
Somebody did say that last night. Yes, that's right.
And last year they had knifings in there and a few other things. I was asked, you know, what the city's involvement was, and I said, only the police.
Yeah.
How much have they raised over this privately?
The number I think I heard last night was over 3 years they've raised about $450,000, just short of $500,000.
And you mentioned that one person gave $250,000 of that.
Right, that's what we were told last night.
So in 4 years they've raised $150,000, very minimal or thin.
That's where, I mean, and we had this discussion. They were online, a couple of them, on their board, and said, you know,
they're a failure.
You need to have a plan. We're not doing this anymore, so you need to get a plan and figure out where you're going for next year.
They're a failure.
But rather than cut it off, and they said, you know, night before last, they had 79 people spent the night there.
Did they go to the Tanana Chiefs or Fairbanks Native Association?
I don't know.
The reason I bring that up is because 75% of the inebriates and the homeless are natives.
Is that the police data?
Yeah, that's police data. 25% are white and black, very minimal Hispanic or Asian. The predominant is native. Why is not Tanana Chiefs or the Fairbanks Native Association being requested to supply funds?
Well, I mean, I don't know if they've been requested or not. Kind of where we got to last night is, okay, we will help through this last month, and you go figure it out. Because we're not doing this next year.
So, well, you say that now.
I was going to say, be careful. You're opening the door.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and there's the problem. You know, but we were very careful trying to go through after that and say, okay, the rest of this list, some of it we voted down 8 weeks ago. Mm-hmm. And now you're back here again. No, this isn't. Here's your budget. Deal with it. Some of it was new stuff that people wanted to do. Because it sounded like a good idea, and it wasn't even a plan.
You guys are burning through your reserve.
Well, that was our problem. We knew we were very low. Cleworth does a good job of reminding ourselves how much we've got in there.
I always did that.
And we were, you know, we took a couple $100,000 off the table and left it in the reserve last night. From what they were asking for, they wanted to spend almost 40% of our reserve in the first 8 weeks.
Wow.
And we said no.
Oh, my God.
And these were just pet projects, basically?
Was this from the mayor?
Yes.
It's all from the mayor?
The mayor and their departments, yeah. So, I mean, so there's some of them that are in there asking for stuff that it'd be nice to have. Yeah, in an ideal world, when you're flush and you got money to burn, I guess that's great. But we're looking at saying, no, with, you know, one more big week of snow like this, we won't have much reserve left.
Okay, now here's – now.
Except that you're not removing any snow.
Well, we're going to save the snow issue from when we get back. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. I have City Council Member John Ringstedt and Borough Assembly Member Brett Roderman in the studio. We're at 458 Talk, 458-8255. We will be back.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Blowers and throwers and stills. Oh, my. Take care of yourself this winter.
But Radio Man, how can I do that?
Gas and battery blowers from Still and Husqvarna.
But Radio Man, blowers are for leaves.
Yes. And you can use a blower to push that light, fluffy snow off your porch or vehicle. Save your back. Keep your fingers warm with a handy battery blower. Ingenuity. The Alaskan way. The right way. The wood way.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereed, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereed, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
Are you interested in recycling in our town? Come learn about recycling, waste management, and environmental cleanup in the Fairbanks North Star Borough. It's the Interior Alaska Solid Waste and Recycling Symposium, Saturday, February 28th from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Golden Heart Waste Management, 3859 Pager Road. There will be vendor exhibits and presentations provided for businesses and residents. Find out recycling options in Interior Alaska. This is free to the public, Saturday, February 28th, 3859 Pager Road. For more information, call 907-455-4496. Presented by Golden Heart Waste Management.
Weather brought to you by CNR Metal Recycling, Alaska's largest metal recycling center. Proudly supporting the oil and gas industry since 1992. Proud to support the last frontier.
KFAR Weather.
A winter storm warning remains in effect. Chance of snow this afternoon. Otherwise, cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. High temperatures reach up to 19. West winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance of snow tonight. Lows dip down to about 27 below. Overcast skies. About an inch of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have a city council member and a borough assembly member in the studio here. We're just getting into the snow plowing issue, or sometimes lack thereof.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I can't keep up with my driveway and my sidewalk. Every time you get it cleared, it starts snowing again by the time you got it done. You know, and I know the Public Works Department is doing that. We have a group of people on contract that work with the Public Works Department employees trying to plow streets. What they said last night was they had most of the main arterials done, and now they're going into the neighborhoods, subdivisions. They are listing off a few they're going to do today or last night. But of course, it was snowing again when he was saying this. So, but it's the roads are not what they should be. Some of those that I've been on, I'm pretty sure are state roads and not city roads. But it's been a tough slog trying to get through. Then I'll give them credit. You know, they're out there working it. I know everybody's not happy about the roads not being plowed.
They made a few critical mistakes, and this is from the office of the mayor. She shouldn't have shut down snow plowing due to weather, cold weather. She never caught up. Then last weekend, the weekend before last, rather, you had a Monday holiday. It started snowing on a Saturday, a Sunday, and a Monday. She should have had the snow plows out on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. You plow at the beginning of the event, not after the event is over.
Once it's over, you're in deep whatever.
Now, snow, I guess. At my house.
Can't find your house, can you?
Well, they hadn't been to my house, my street, since mid-December. So I missed a round or two. And I just said, the hell with it. You know, I had a tempest in a teapot with Emily, you know, the day before. I was getting stuck on my street. Emily was getting stuck on the street. It was not a fun day in my house on Sunday. So we're having to park over at the Elks because we can't use my street.
Really?
Yeah. And so finally I had to play the Emily card. I said, I texted the chief of staff and the head of public works, hey, guys, my life is not good right now.
She can't get home.
And I know, and you know, and so I explained to him, you know, texting what's going on, and bam, you know, within an hour, a friend, a loader with a blade came over, and then talking later, they forgot our subdivision. They forgot it. And so right now, you know, they got it done yesterday on Sunday about one in the afternoon. This morning, forget it. I had a friend go over and plow my street. Now, I had to do that once or twice under Matherly. And now I'm doing it again under another mayor. You know, and there's one thing you got to do. Plow the damn streets. Well, don't forget subdivisions, neighborhoods. This is a pretty programmed way to do it. Then you, in the downtown area, they didn't do, until this Monday and Tuesday, they weren't doing the Monday 1st through 5th Avenue, Tuesday night 6th through 12th. They weren't doing that.
What were they doing?
I have no idea. But finally, you know, and every morning I come down here and I look at the streets. And finally, yesterday I saw where, okay, they did 1st through 6th yesterday. And, you know, I think today they did, you know, or last night they did 6th through 12th. They're finally getting back to that program. And it's the end of February. From the beginning of the year, they've screwed it up.
Well, I think you're right about getting behind the power curve, you know.
You don't catch up.
You don't ever catch up. You got to be, when it starts coming down, you know it's coming for 3 days.
Yeah.
You better get the first batch out of there before you're not going to get to it.
Now, I've been shoveling my driveway this like everyone else. I mean, I shovel my driveway, shovel my walk. I was out there last night at 8 o'clock. I was out there this morning at 6 a.m. But when you have to get your neighbors to help you push your vehicle all-wheel drive out of it being stuck in the middle of your street, that's when you're saying, this is BS.
We've got to get out of
it. I know over by my shop, you know, my shop's on Industrial, and Industrial's almost impassable. You know,
I was just out in that neighborhood about half an hour ago. It's pretty rough.
Boy, if you can get up to about 5 miles an hour, you are screaming on Industrial, because you get that, you know, that I call it the jumble snow, you know.
30th was that way.
Here's another thing. You know, like yourself, John, we're townies. I'm not a stalker. I know where you live. But we are townies. And I'm a townie. I am willing to pay the most in taxes for the fire, the police, the trash,
the roads.
Mm-hmm. I want it all. I'll pay for it all. But now, you, Mr. Borough Assemblyman, I look at my assessment, and it went up 19%, and it's gone up 65% in the last 5 years. And I'm having to push my vehicle out of the middle of the street. And I'm having a conversation with myself, what services am I getting for this crap? And it ain't good. It was not a good conversation in my house on Saturday and Sunday.
Right. I can imagine. I worry about him when he starts talking to himself, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah, well, I mean, I agree with you. I think once you get behind that power curve, now you just don't have enough personnel and equipment to catch up. I don't know how much equipment that, you know, the city does have. You know, we deal with this with the road service areas in the borough. You know, now you're dealing with contractors that only have so many people and so much equipment. So when you get a big event like this, it takes a while to catch up, you know.
Yep. And that's,
but,
that's
it, you know, in my road service area, at least once during this event, they sent the graders out. They called the graders out. Don't clean. Just open it. Just punch a path because more is coming. You know,
that makes sense.
And then now we've got another foot on top of all of this, and now they got to go in and try to clean all that up. And, you know, it can be a real disaster. And then in town here, geez, I mean, it's not a matter of just running the grader down the road and pushing it off the side of the road. What's on the side of the road? The sidewalk, businesses, you know. So you've got to come through here. You've got to push all this into the middle of the street and then bring the blower in with the dump trucks. It's a major operation.
Mm-hmm. Our streets are looking like a loose track.
Here, you know?
God almighty.
But you're right. You're right, Brett. I mean, hauling it away, this isn't going to happen this week. It's going to take probably a month to get it all.
And you better hope we don't have any more events. I mean, you know, I've been telling you, I've been here 35 years. You guys have obviously been here way longer than that. But, I mean, I remember when I moved here, 6 inches of snow was like a federal emergency. I mean, we were on the phone with FEMA, you know, like, oh, my God, 6 inches in Fairbanks. Now we measure it by the foot.
Yeah.
You know, and pretty, it's like we need yardsticks to go out and measure this stuff
which
anymore.
Which brings me back to your budget. Councilman Ringsted, how much do you have? How much should you put into temporary labor to continue the two platoons of snowplowing?
We asked that question last night. We were talking. I think we had $1.2 million in the budget initially, plus a special contingency fund of $250,000.
The $250,000 is in case it's not for snow.
It's a general emergency fund.
Yeah, just snow is not a general emergency.
Well, I don't know. It gets much worse. It might be.
Yeah.
Yeah, if he gets belly aching about not getting out of his house, we're going to have an emergency.
Right.
But so, I mean, worst case scenario, we could use that. Mayor's got to declare an emergency for it, but. But that's what we were looking at last night. Said, okay, how much have we spent so far? Granted, we're not quite 2 months into our year.
Yeah.
We're going to spend more between now and, you know, in April.
And you want to have a $25,000 event.
Well, that's one of the things he said that, that you know, $25,000 maybe gets you through, you know, 1-2 day snow.
No, $25,000 event of having, you know, people talk about public safety.
Oh, that event. Yeah, we had that on. It was one of the budget requests that we turned down last night was $25,000 for
a conference.
For a conference, yeah. Us host a conference. I think it's more important that we plow our streets than hold conferences right now.
True.
There's still a concern, and Clearworth was making the point that, you know, if we hit end of March, 1st of April, and it warms up and we melt quickly—
You're flooded.
Yeah. It's flooded. I mean, yeah. We have so much still laying around, stockpiled everywhere, streets full, and this stuff starts hitting. The drains are all going to freeze up every night, you know.
Well,
we're
going to
have a big mess, and there goes, again, our contingency fund is going to be going out the door trying to open
the
drains
up. All the cars breaking through the foot of hard pack that you've got out there.
Yeah.
That's actually a good question.
Well, and then the potholes that occur. I mean, this is... You guys are.
We got a lot of work to do, and it's going to be on the margin of financially. We're going to have to work to get through.
You know, I was just thinking that, you know, you say you pay for all these services.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, if one service doesn't get done, like the roads,
the domino theory.
How's an ambulance or a fire truck going to get to your house? How are the cops going to get to your house?
Yeah. The dominoes.
You know, if you can't get to your house, how are emergency personnel going to get to your house? And you're paying for that.
That's the problem we got to look at and say, okay, what is the basic function of our local government? Public safety, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you get into that includes your roads, that includes your police, your fire department.
Trash pickup,
you know, your basic services, you know? I guess that's where in my mind, I said this repeatedly last night, needs versus wants.
Mm-hmm.
What do we as government need to do? And then if you got extra money, and I don't see where we have any extra money.
You don't? Well.
Not much.
Yeah, I guess I just have to go back to me, my last year there. I took a $1.2 million loss of revenue, and I still gave you a $2 million surplus.
Correct.
And I hired 13 new firemen.
Management. You know, it's called management.
It depends on what your priorities are. And your priorities sound different. We're going to take a phone call real fast. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
My name is Adam Nash.
Hello, Adam Nash.
I was calling about this $40,000 funding of a homeless shelter in downtown Fairbanks that's located in Dance Theater. For children, they got two dumpsters behind their place. The place looks like a homeless camp. They can't even put the trash in the dumpsters. And now you're talking about not having any money. And you just gave a homeless shelter that can't even pick up trash $40,000? You should go take a look. Just drive by. Just follow the Ravens.
I haven't been in that building in quite a while.
Well, you should.
Adam, did you used to have a business in that building?
We certainly did.
You guys ran a great business, clean business, wonderful business, and yeah, things have changed. Adam, I've got to
go to trash like that.
Yeah, I've got to go. We got a satellite feed coming in. Thank you for the phone call. Please call back after the break, sir. Thank you, Fairbanks. We're going to take a commercial break. We'll be back after some news, Fox News, sports, weather, commercials, yada yada. We'll be right back.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming
live. Fox News. I'm John Saucier. Rhode Island Governor Daniel McKee gave an update today on some of the impacts of that big nor'easter that rolled through the region this week. The governor says they're working to restore power, and they've been making great progress so far.
Whether it's Rhode Island Energy, where the numbers are down considerably, we're under 20,000 energy outages right now, which is amazing.
President Trump scheduled to deliver the first State of the Union address of his second term tonight. Minnesota Democratic Representative Ilhan Omar says Minnesota's economy has struggled under the Trump administration.
If Minnesota, which is, you know, a smaller state, is experiencing this kind of economic devastation, you bet every other state is as well.
President Trump expected to focus on the economy. Also could talk about tariffs and U.S. military activity abroad. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
In some sporting news, Alaska's News Source reports, Rusty Osborne, who holds the Alaska College basketball coaching wins record, announced Monday that he plans to retire at the end of the season. Osborne has been a coach in the University of Alaska Anchorage basketball program since 1991, taking over as head coach in 2004. Since then, he has guided the Seawolves to a 380 win and 242 loss record. His 380 wins are most all-time in UAA history and in Alaska College hoops history. It is with mixed emotions that I have submitted my letter of resignation as head men's basketball coach at the University of Alaska Anchorage, Osborne wrote in a prepared statement from UAA Athletics. Osborne said he will finish the current season and stay as coach until a replacement is hired. He also said he will transition to an acting senior athletic director role, working with current acting athletic director Tanya Pont. One milestone he's very proud of, 45 of his former players have advanced to play professional basketball.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
You know what sounds great on a cold day? A car that starts on the first try. Hey, Fairbanks, Les Nichols with Fairbanks Nissan. If the cold has your current ride being a little dramatic, maybe it's time to leave your old ride in 2025 and ride for six in 2026. Just $6 down gets you driving today. $6. That's coffee money. That's snack money. That's drive away today money. We have the kind of used cars you've been looking for. Low mileage? Check. All-wheel drive? Check. Great selection? Check. Low prices? Like I can't believe that's the price, low prices? Check. Interest rates that make sense? Check. 90 days of first payment? Check. Just $6 down to get you around town? Check. And yes, you can trade that frozen ride clogging up your driveway. That's drive now, pay later, $6 down, 90 days to first payments, and lots of used all-wheel drive cars, trucks, and SUVs to choose from. Check out all the happy-to-start, snow-loving rides at FairbanksNissan.com. That's FairbanksNissan.com.
$6 down and 90 days to first payment required bank approval. Offer absolutely ends at the end of the month. See dealer for details.
It's dark, it's cold, and that snow's gonna start loading up on a couple of those trees hanging over your yard or house. You do know that Eric and his crew at Great Alaska Tree Company work year-round, right? Troublesome trees don't wait for summer, and neither should you. Winter's the worst time for tree damage. The power lines, cars, and homes, specializing in those tricky, hard-to-reach areas, licensed, bonded, and insured, it's Great Alaska Tree Company.
Hi, this is Eric with Great Alaska Tree Company. Yeah, we're totally still dropping trees all winter long. Give us a call, 978-470.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. I have Assemblymember Brett Roderman and City Councilmember John Ringstead in the studio here with me. Now, Brett, we're going to concentrate on your side of the river a little bit. You recently had the school district announce that they had an $11.4 million surplus. And now, when I first saw that, and this is what I continue to think, I thought, that's fine, that's good, because that was from operational costs that did not incur over the year that were budgeted for. Now, at the city, we would have that too. You wouldn't have as much employment or as many people in there, and you budget for a full everyone employed, but you don't have that expense. And so, boom, I would thought that was a nice surprise for you.
Well, yes and no. I mean, obviously, you know, the public outfall, you know, the outcry from it obviously wasn't good. But
yeah,
yes, I mean...
You shut down two or three schools.
Right, yeah. And we had the same thing at the borough. So during the audit, you know, it came out that we had kind of a similar situation. You know, one number that stood out was, you know, we keep our savings account, if you will. We keep that invested. We don't want to just put it in a savings account at 1% interest, you know. But it needs to be liquid. We need to have, so we put it in money markets. Well, we budgeted for, I think, 3.25%, 3.5%. We got a little over 5. Well, you know, we got $40 million in a money market. That's real money. You know, that's a couple million bucks. You get that. Same thing. We had some senior people that were basically at the top of our pay steps. They retired, left. You're replacing them with people at the bottom of the pay steps. That saves you money. One thing the school district said, we experienced the same thing. We didn't have a lot of big health care claims on our insurance.
Mm-hmm.
So that you've played this game, you know, you get left over. But in the school district's case, since they are, in essence, quote unquote, you know, beholden to us for the money, subservient to us.
Yeah.
I didn't want to use that word, but I guess that's kind of true. So apparently, as I understand it, years ago, one of the school district,
They
were hoarding money.
Yeah.
They were hoarding money. And so the borough found out about it. And so apparently we passed an ordinance, I believe it was in 2018, that said, okay, if you have a certain number of dollars over during the audit.
In your reserve,
we get to pull that back, claw it back, if you will. And it's an automatic thing. So when the audit committee met the other night and accepted the audit, immediately that money transferred back to us. Now it's up to us, the assembly, to figure out what to do with that. So apparently by ordinance, the spirit of the ordinance was to...
So you get the money back and you appropriate it towards a...
Yeah.
Oh my God!
Yeah, the timing.
You can't write this better.
I know the timing of that was a little uncanny.
Yes.
That's a unique term to use.
Yes, right.
Uncanny.
Yes.
Take it out of the education system. Put them into the
animal control.
Animal control. Yeah, it's certainly what it looked like. So you can understand. You know, people were upset, just like people were upset.
Government at its finest.
Yeah. Well, and people were very upset that it's like, hey, you closed these schools down, and now you found all this big pile of money. And so, again, you know, the public perception of all this was not exactly great. So anyway, now it's up to us to figure out what to do with the money. Apparently, the spirit of the ordinance was that you would use any of those surplus funds to deal with maintenance in the buildings. And so I'm hoping that's what we use that for, but I've been screaming for that for years, and it's pretty much gone nowhere.
So just for clarification, if people aren't aware, that the school district buildings are owned by the borough.
Correct.
That's why you're saying you can use it for maintenance, because they are your buildings.
They're basically our buildings, you know. But, you know, we've tried that before. I've tried it before, moving money around in the KIP, trying to get, you know, our school buildings. So we have a ton of deferred maintenance, 300 and some odd million dollars worth of deferred maintenance in just the school buildings alone. Now that number's, I guess in a way it's sort of changed because we have closed the schools, and I don't know that now the school district probably doesn't factor that in to their deferred maintenance, but they're still our buildings and they're sitting there empty, which is the worst thing for a building.
Your operational costs still.
Right. We still have,
yeah.
Correct. We still have operational costs. In fact, we just had to appropriate some money for Pearl Creek because we needed to put in some security cameras and different things, you know, to keep an eye, a remote eye on the building.
Take care of your buildings.
Right, you know. So now we'll have to decide what we're going to do with this $11.4 million. As I understand it, and I don't know this for a fact, I haven't nailed this down yet, we haven't discussed it enough, it can be given back for operational purposes. It's up to the assembly. The assembly holds the purse strings, so we'll see. We'll see where it plays out. You know,
it's going to be an interesting discussion, and I think you've got some work cut out on you on that one.
Oh yeah, yep.
It's going to be difficult no matter what happens.
And there's going to be a lot of unhappy people no matter what happens, because they're already unhappy that the surplus got found after closing school buildings.
Mr. Riggs said, you guys still haven't figured out what you're doing with the starter block, the Polaris building block. And it seems like the mayor has something, a hidden agenda there that she's not being fully open about.
Well, we're not clear about what she's doing. We were discussing it, trying to get an RFP out in the state. We've, as you know, you worked with us on this the last few years. I mean, the city, and it's been 10 years or more trying to get that block cleaned up, get it down, get the building down, get a plan to go for it. It's been out in the public for at least a decade, maybe more. You know, there's a million different ideas of what to do with it. You know, most of us on the council feel pretty strongly that we want to have private investment come in and put something that is going to bring activities and good facilities and businesses into the downtown area to help bring more activity into the downtown area. You know, I don't have any interest in having the city own another building and start into a new deal. We don't have, as the city, we don't have parks and rec power. We can't make a park out of that. As far as I know, we'd have to give it to the borough, and then you're stuck with it, Brett.
But well, we got it from the borough. We can give it back. No, we bought it from the borough.
So we've got a long ways to go. Apparently, we thought we're moving forward. The mayor's got a different plan, and it's unclear to most of the council what that is. Unfortunately, we went round and round last night and didn't get it to any resolution that she wants to do what she wants to do. So we're
ready for a phone call.
Let's have a phone call. Brett can answer.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Tom Kennedy.
Tom Kennedy, what are you up to?
Hey, we're digging ourselves out. That's all good.
Got any snow rakes?
We're working it. Hey, one thing that I see on the district school district maintenance schedule is that there's going to be a big red wave of those red shirts retiring this year. That there's some red shirts out there that do the work of three people.
What are the red shirts? What are the red shirts?
They're the school district maintenance facility workers.
Okay.
And there's one that his name's Ron Slater. He does the work of three guys. You can ask anybody in the borough. They know how hard he works. And there's a bunch of them that are retiring, so their cost for deferred maintenance is going to be much, much higher than that because they're used to a certain level of really super hard worker, and those guys are just all going to retire.
They're losing their experienced hands.
Yes. Anyway, I'll let you guys go. Good show, though. Really good show.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
Yep.
So you don't know what you're doing with the Polaris, but she has something. Sounds like she has an agenda.
But we have not
seen it.
We don't know what it is. She initially was saying she wanted to spend more time through the summer or whatever, and more public input and discussion. We've been discussing it for 10 years, and the council wanted to go forward and say, let's put an RFP. We've been redrafted and redrafted.
You don't have to, depending on what comes in, you don't have to accept it.
We don't have to accept it, but let's see.
What comes in?
Sue Sprinkle was making a very good point last night that you can do what you want. We can list everything we want in there. But if the people that have the money to invest don't want to do that, they're not going to do it. If it doesn't economically make sense, they're not going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, we're looking at it saying, let's see what the interest level is out there for what kind of a development would make sense, would be viable over time. You know, we don't need another building that sits empty. We don't need a vacant lot. You know, what we need is something that will work for our community for the long term. And we were hoping that we get this, say, the city is interested in moving forward. We've got the thing cleaned up. We got it out of there. Now it's a usable property. Who's interested? Come forward and see. Come give us some ideas and make some proposals, and we'll see what we can do. We don't have to accept any of them. You know, we can decide this isn't what we want. Or we can say, hey, that's a great idea. Let's make a deal here. You know, but we've got to move forward and see who's interested in putting their money where their mouth is and what will work and help the overall city of Fairbanks.
True. Fairbanks, we're going to take a commercial break. We're at 907-458-TALK, 907-458-8255. We'll be back after these messages.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Do you have a little or even a lot of time to share? You can help with the Fairbanks Community Food Bank. Call 45-SHARE and get on the schedule. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank collects and redistributes food through many programs, including food boxes, bone builders, and agency shopping. The Fairbanks Community Food Bank, helping to ensure that no child in the Tanana Valley will go hungry. Call 45-SHARE to volunteer to help now at the Fairbanks Community Food Bank, providing food for hungry people without charge. This message brought to you by the radio station at 529 5th Avenue.
CAD is Customer Appreciation Day at the Great Alaska Pizza Company. Our very best waiting for you today, just $6. Get your medium cheese or pepperoni pizza, only $6. Oh yeah, hot from the oven, fresh and fast. We know you're coming, so it's in the oven, fresh and fast. Customer Appreciation Day is today. One day only, medium cheese or pepperoni, just $6. Carry out only, fresh and fast.
Hey, it's Craig Campo inviting you to kick back with me by the campfire every Saturday for the Outdoor Show. We'll be talking about living the Alaskan outdoor dream with fascinating guests, even some favorite stories and memories from a lifetime spent on the trails and waterways, hunting, fishing, and camping across this great state. Join me, Craig Campo, for the Outdoor Show, brought to you by Campos since 1945. Listen in Saturday afternoons at 12:30 p.m. for the Outdoor Show right here on KFAR Radio.
It has occurred to me that I am an introvert. I live a sheltered life as an old septic tank, gazing at the stars, pondering my poetry, appreciating the weather, rain or snow. I know my family has Bigfoot Pumpin' and Thawin' faithfully pump me out once a year. I count on that flow in my life, and I will continue to serve them much better for many years to come.
KFAR Weather.
A winter storm warning continues until 6 a.m. tomorrow morning. Chance for snow today, otherwise cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Highs level off around 19. Winds out of the west, 8 to 15 miles per hour. About an inch of snow today through tonight. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Fairbanks, welcome back. You know, a few years ago, Jim Williams, when he was chief of staff, he came on the show here, and he was with the Fairbanks North Star Borough, chief of staff to the mayor. And he came out with the cost that there was almost one-third of $1 billion in deferred maintenance at the Fairbanks North Star Borough facilities.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money. And so then I'd look at the city and I'd say to myself, we don't have hardly any deferred maintenance. We have projects we want to do, like converting the heating system over
in City Hall.
Yeah. You know, and we redid the roofs, we redid the windows, we redid all of that. We repainted buildings. Big difference between the borough has so many buildings. The schools.
Schools, was it 35 of them or something?
Yeah. And so you just have such an enormous amount of structures that if you don't, you know, you have had mayors who would rather build a new shiny facility than maintains the one they got.
That was one of my big arguments for the new animal shelter.
Yeah,
is look at our current one. You know, what do you think this new one's going to look like in 50 years if you continue to maintain it the way you're maintaining this one?
Yeah,
it's going to be exactly the same thing. We have a proven track record of not maintaining what we have. You look at all of our infrastructure here. It's very old, and most of it was built back in the glory days when, you know, money was...
Pipeline.
A lot of it was built during the pipeline, and money was not an object. Right. But, you know, once again...
Back when there was this guy by the name of Representative Ringstead who was getting money for projects here.
No,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, this is a deja vu moment. Sorry, John, for throwing you under the bus. Yeah, it's all your fault. It's all your fault, John.
That's right. Yeah. Hey, you know, we'll help you get it built, but you got to take care of it. You know, and it's unfortunate. We don't take care of our stuff.
Ready for a phone call?
Yep.
Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Randy.
Randy, what are you doing?
Well, I have a kind of a far afield question. I don't know if anyone there has any inkling about it, but when they talk about the red shirt people fixing schools and how there's one that can do the work of three men, that's very heartening to hear. We have good dedicated staff there that's helping keep our schools up. But my question has to do with what's in the news. Mount Edgecombe Boarding School in great disrepair, and then the news I heard today on the radio said that there are 100 other schools in 100 villages out there that are in severe disrepair. And I've always been wondering in the last few days, are there red shirt people out there in the villages, you know, some school maintenance people that are trying to do their best to fix plumbing leaks and that sort of thing? You guys may not have a clue about that, but I've just wondered.
Yeah, this is John. You know, I, over the years from different capacities, it seems to me that there's always a few schools that are in deep trouble out in the villages. And I don't know the exact reason, but a lot of it is that the maintenance doesn't get done for whatever reason. But it's also like it's easier to have a building completely go down the tubes and build a new one than it is to take care of the old one.
And also, in a village, the school is also the community center. Now, I'm going to tell you a story. This isn't a good story, but it's a story about schools in the village. A friend of mine, large mechanical contracting company. He's with a general contractor who builds a school out in the village. And they have a shower system in the boys and girls shower system in the gym. And it's failing. It's backing up. It's failing. So, okay, it's under warranty. So they send out the crew to take a look at it. And they pull caribou hair out of the drains.
Oh, no.
So they're bringing caribou in to the facilities, into the shower facilities.
Locker rooms.
And cleaning the caribou there.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. And so I always remembered that one.
Yeah, it's hard to put a specific finger on the problem because there's a lot of every scenario is different.
Yeah,
but
it's a community center.
It's a community center, and they're used for everything in town.
Yeah,
And there's probably a whole bunch of them that are using those showers because they don't have them.
Yeah,
right. So yeah. It's a public shower for everybody. So you look at it. Unfortunately, that's what's in there in the community, and education has to justify the picking up the tab for all that.
Yeah, I think you need, eight students and ten now in a community to have a school?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a tough scenario, and unfortunately we're seeing a lot of those rural areas, the schools are so small, and you got one or two teachers that are trying to teach 12 grades, and I've always felt that there's a lot of those kids aren't getting the education they deserve that we should be giving them, because the economy of scales just doesn't work.
No, it does not.
You're almost tutoring the kids.
Yeah.
I mean, 10 kids and two teachers, and then you got to have a maintenance guy, and you got to have this and that. And,
Brett, we've been through, you're the snowplow guy. We've been through, a couple snowzillas here. Now we're coming into the freeze month. mm-hmm. What's your advice for people right now? Surviving Fairbanks.
Oh, boy. Well, like me, try not to get down. it's really hard. I mean, it just seems overwhelming, with what we're dealing with right now.
My advice for everyone is check your – if you're on oil, check your fuel level.
Yep.
Check your fuel level.
This afternoon.
Yep, that's a good one because we are getting late in the year, and a lot of people are pushing their fuel oil tanks to the limit because – if you got a 1,000-gallon tank, who has, $4,500 extra laying around to fill it up? So most people are, kind of riding along. But, basically don't let this get you down. You just got to kind of keep, inching away at all of this. Today I'm at the shop plowing snow, and then the wind picks up. I come around the front of the shop, and I couldn't even tell that I'd even been there because it all blew off the roof and into my front parking lot, and I get to start over again. But guess what? I'll go back there and start over again. You just got to get rid of this stuff.
And if you're shoveling, be careful, because I've lost a few people to heart attacks.
Heart attack shoveling.
Yeah. So be careful with that.
It's exercise. You know,
I've been doing it, and when I start sweating, after a bit, I stop and I go inside, and I'm not sweating in cold weather.
Yep.
You don't want to do that.
Yeah. And if you don't, let's just say if you're not young and spry, don't go up on your roof to shovel snow. Hire somebody, because I think whatever paid them $100 an hour, my guess is it's going to be a whole lot cheaper than the ensuing medical bills or the funeral.
Yeah.
So
you're such a positive guy.
he's looking for the upside.
Right, yeah.
No, that's coming the downside. Yeah, that's the downside.
That's the downside. Yes.
The upside is you're helping a young, healthy person.
That's right. Make a few bucks.
But yesterday I started shoveling my driveway again, and I got about 60% of it done. And this morning I went out, and for a half hour I reshoveled that 60% that I got done.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Is this good exercise? Didn't overexert myself. Brought one of the dogs out. She was giving me, let's go outside. It's fun. It's 15 above. Oh my God, it's great. So,
yeah, and that's the other one. If you haven't been paying attention to the forecast, hang on. It's the
dropping.
The bottom's going to fall out starting tonight, I think 15 below, and then we drop all the way to like 42 below, and it's going to stay cold at night for a while. So
several days.
Yeah. Several days. So hang on. We got another cold snap coming. So
here we go again.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Mr. Ringstead, we got a couple minutes left. How do you want to end your portion of this?
Well, I think I'll just say that, I think the city generally is in pretty good shape. We're trying to work through some issues we need to resolve and some relationships we need to get on track. And, public input's always a good thing. Keep our priorities out there and keep us focused on what we're trying to do.
Mr. Rutterman.
Kip is going to be the big topic at this next assembly meeting. And then after that, we're going to start kind of rolling into our budget here pretty soon. That's only a month or so away. So pay attention to that. Get ready for that. Going to be an interesting budget cycle for sure.
Well, both of us will just keep trying to keep that taxes down.
That's
huh?
right. That's right.
And services at a quality level.
Yep.
There you go.
Yep. Hmm.
Well, what the heck, been a good show. Appreciate that you gentlemen can get here in the middle of a snowstorm, gale. some people walking wounded, Mr. Ringstead.
Yeah, really.
You've given your all to the city of Fairbanks, literally.
I could go a long time without going.
We're
going to
take a quick phone call real fast. Good morning. You're on KFAR Radio, and your name is?
Adam Nash.
Hello, Adam Nash again. How you doing, sir?
$40,000. You said you were just trying to lower taxes on us. Did you say $40,000 to a homeless shelter that invites crime and trash?
Yes, they did. Yes, they did.
He's never even been to the place, and he supports it unconditionally with $40,000.
You didn't listen. There was a lot of conditions on that. There was a lot of conditions we put on that.
Yeah, that it won't happen again next year. Oh, yeah.
Adam, you take care, buddy. Appreciate the phone call. And Fairbanks, it's been a good show. Appreciate everyone calling in. God, tomorrow is Wednesday, and I know I have someone on Wednesday. Oh, well, it's Joni Skillbred. And so anyway, and we have Libby Dalton Slain coming in. Okay. Oh my goodness,
Ms. Joan?
That'll be good.
No, that's at a later time. That's Nick Nugent. So anyway, Fairbanks, you have a great day, gentlemen. Thank you very much, and I'll see you tomorrow.
Okay, thanks.